Hi, everyone, and welcome to today's webinar, How to Run Cloudera Enterprise on Microsoft Azure. My name is David Tishkart. I'm Director of Partner Marketing here at Cloudera, and I'm joined today by my colleague Woody Christie and Gene Ferrioli from Microsoft. We're also very excited to have Clifford Barnes from Adecco, who's going to talk about how they're using Cloudera Enterprise on Azure to drive efficiencies and really design a data-driven business that's literally changing lives. First, a quick bit of housekeeping. This webinar is being recorded, and following the webinar, you'll receive an email with a link to the recording, so in case you miss any portion of it, or if you want to watch it again, you'll have it. Also, let's try and keep this webinar interactive. If you have any questions, please ask them in the chat window at the bottom left of your screen. We may answer you directly via chat or pick up the question at the end of the webinar. Now, over the course of the next hour, we're going to cover some of the trends that are driving Hadoop in the cloud. We'll look at some companies who've successfully leveraged data and analytics as part of their business transformation, and then we'll show you just how easy it is to get started with Cloudera on the Azure Marketplace. But first, I'd like to take a quick poll and get a better understanding of why you're interested in Hadoop in the cloud. So a couple of examples, and by the way, as you're filling this out, feel free to respond to as many of these as are appropriate. So some things we're going to talk about today that we see customers doing fairly often, things like ETL offloading, data modeling, turning to Cloudera and Hadoop in the cloud for faster agile analytics to handle this massive data growth, and also for building data-driven applications. Or perhaps you don't have plans right now for Hadoop and you're just trying to really get an understanding of what it is and how it can work for you in cloud environments. So let's give this a few more seconds and then we'll take a look at the results. But I appreciate you guys taking the time to fill out this poll. All right, so it's really across the board here, which is interesting and not surprising. A lot of what we're seeing here kind of mirrors what we're going to talk about a little bit later on about the access patterns and the types of jobs that companies typically run in a Hadoop environment. So let's go ahead and we'll close this poll out and really get into what companies are trying to do with data. So at Cloudera, we've seen firsthand how our customers' relationship with data is changing, and what once was a cost to be managed is now really a source of competitive advantage and new revenue channels. So organizations are actively working to gather more data, they're storing it for longer, they're instrumenting networks and platforms and actually even making physical devices to create more of it. And they're buying data from third parties in order to drive this advantage. And you know, it's really when you think about what companies are doing with data, it's not just taking one particular data source, but it's all of these data sources together and the ability to blend it and keep it one place that's really changing how data is being used. It's now a strategic asset, and so of course you need a strategy for it. So a foundational part of that strategy involves how and where you're going to manage your data. And there's a few trends driving Hadoop in the cloud. Now, there's this axiom that's taught to med students. It's called Sutton's Law, and it states that when making a diagnosis, you should first focus on the obvious and then conduct tests that confirm that likely diagnosis rather than trying to diagnose a relatively uncommon medical condition. And what's interesting is this law is actually named after a prolific American bank robber named Willie Sutton. The story goes that a reporter asked Sutton why he loved to rob banks, and he replied, well, because that's where the money is. So if you apply Sutton's law to something like data management, then Hadoop in the cloud really starts to make a lot of sense. I mean, after all, the cloud is where the data is. So you got sensor data, streaming data, the Internet of Things. More data is being generated and stored in the cloud. You'll see on the slide here in a moment that Gene's going to show that Microsoft is reporting more than 50 trillion objects stored on Azure. And if you remember, one of the basic tenets of Hadoop is to move the processing to where the data is. And the data is in the cloud, that's where Hadoop should be. Now, cloud also offers a lot of flexibility over traditional infrastructure. So you have the freedom to scale up clusters for different departments. So, you know, the person in charge of ETL in your organization might scale up a cluster and do some data integration in the morning, while, you know, someone who is in charge of BI might want to run a cluster, or I want to set up a cluster to run ad hoc analytics, and that's, you know, more of a persisted type of cluster. Then the pay-as-you-go model also enables you to pay for what you use at the time and then terminate the clusters you're not using. Ultimately, what this does is open up data to more users across the business. Now, finally, the cloud was and continues to be a great testing ground for Hadoop. But as the cloud and as our platform has matured, enterprises see that as a viable environment for full production Hadoop deployments for any line application and analytic needs. We're just seeing more acceptance at a higher level of Hadoop in the cloud, and we've got a number of customers running Hadoop production environments in the cloud today. Real quickly, speaking of Hadoop, this is our data management platform. It's based on open source Apache Hadoop, and it's called Cloudera Enterprise. This includes critical components like systems management and data governance, and the ability to deploy based on your terms, whether that's on-premises or in the cloud or in a hybrid architecture. It provides a consistent user experience across all those deployments, and it's really what makes Hadoop ready for the enterprise. Hadoop is a data management platform that is used to store unlimited data cost effectively and reliably for as long as you need, and delivers a variety of access frameworks that allows users to interrogate data in ways that you really can't do with traditional database systems. So data can be stored, processed, explored, modeled, and served in one unified platform, and it's connected to the systems that you already rely on. So that's true for all Hadoop distributions, but what's unique about Cloudera is that we make Hadoop fast, easy, and secure. And we'll dive a bit deeper into these topics later in the webinar, but now I'd like to bring on Gene to talk a little bit about Microsoft Azure. Gene?
Great, thanks, David. So let me take a look at the next slide here. So kind of what I want to do is set the stage here and look at the foundation of Microsoft Azure and our relationship with the Cloudera team. You know, just a quick background, back in 2014, it was around October, we announced a partnership with Cloudera. And, you know, it's looking about taking our cloud platform and embracing our first-party partners like Cloudera to run solutions to bring to our customers. We look at Microsoft Azure as really that platform to run these solutions efficiently, where we can really meet our customer business needs. And if we really, when we look at Azure, what I always like to say is that, you know, Azure is a platform to build and run solutions on. And, you know, when people ask me about, you know, tell me about Azure or sell me Azure, you know, it's like taking Azure is like trying to sell a bunch of Legos, right? It's not what you can do with it. You got some rectangles that are yellow, some squares that are red, you know, but there's not a lot you can do with it. What we really depend on are our ISVs like Cloudera to build those solutions to run on our platform to take advantage. So if we look at our platform and looking how the openness is really what I want to look at, is that Microsoft, and I've been here for 18 years, has come a long way. It used to be Windows, 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 and I've seen a huge change in this company over the past 2 years with Satya coming on board as our CEO, where we're actually embracing platforms that our customers are using, right? We're looking at Azure today to be able to support not just Windows, but also Linux, as an example. We fully support Linux. We have a relationship with Red Hat, and essentially looking to embrace the open source system community, and looking at, you know, our customers are building great apps using other things than .NET. We support Java. We support PHP, and it really shows how Microsoft is starting to finally get it and looking at what do people want and building a platform to help enable business goals. So if we look at this slide here, you know, it's really about deploying our applications. We've been working with the Cloudera team for about a year now. We have full EDH support to run on Cloudera. We have customers that are running it today to meet, and we'll hear from Clifford today, to meet real business pain. And Clifford will talk about the, you know, the scenarios that they've enabled on Microsoft Azure. So this, you know, this slide here, I don't want to spend too much time on it, but it's kind of like giving, you know, what are the analysts saying? You know, full transparency, of course, Amazon is out there, great solution, great cloud platform. They obviously had a head start on us, but looking at what we've been doing over the past couple of years in investment, we've invested $15 billion alone in our cloud platform. And you can see us every 6 months to a year, we iterate. We're really about agility, releasing capabilities, quality, and essentially making sure that we meet our customer business needs and goals. We look at Gartner here, and we are definitely, you know, in the leading quadrant. We continue to iterate. We continue to improve. I work very closely with the Azure engineering team, and I can tell you from top down, we're committed to making this the greatest and best platform to build and run solutions on. So David kind of mentioned a little before about, objects, the momentum here. This slide here is really about, looking at the adoption rate and what we're seeing today on Azure. You know, like a trillion messages delivered in the event hubs. We're looking at storage objects, new customers coming on. The way we've been approaching here, and again, this has been a change that I've seen in the past 2 years, is that we know that just putting out Azure as our platform and looking at helping our customers be successful is not going to be a winning strategy. We know we need to depend on our partners like Cloudera to bring those solutions to market, to go to market together in order to meet our customers' demand. And, you know, we look at this here and showing that we can see broad adoption of how the platform has been scaling and looking at the adoption rate and essentially the capabilities that we've been adding incrementally over the past years. So it's always good to get a little street cred, is what I call it, some customer evidence here. I'm looking at, these aren't specific to Cloudera, but rather these customers have deployed solutions on Azure. I've personally worked with a few of them. There are some solutions out there that we worked with, for example, an elevator company, where they had a scenario where they were looking at building a schedule for their maintenance workers to service elevators. You know, before it was a set date, the elevator technician would visit, they would do their maintenance and leave. But what they discovered was that some of these elevators really didn't need the maintenance yet, and they could continue to go as they were and, you know, essentially, not be needed. So what we ended up doing was taking the sensors that the elevators had and be able to take that data, be able to correlate it, and determine when did that elevator need servicing, and then plug it into a scheduler program to then schedule that elevator maintenance operator to go out there when it was needed. So they were able to save a significant amount of money. That looked at as a common, as like an Internet of Things or IoT scenario, but they leverage Azure in order to gather that data, in order to analyze that data, and essentially make decisions around when those operators would visit those elevators. So the next slide here is really about our scale. You know, if we look at 3 years, even 3 years ago and where we are today, I mean, tremendous investment on our data center capability. You know, Microsoft, technically, if you think about it, we've been in the data center business for 30 years. We had services, you know, those of you that remember and probably don't use, but Hotmail as a service. We have email servicing, Xbox Live for those gamers out there. You know, we really have been in the data center business for many, many years, and now looking at to extend that infrastructure that we have in place today to build a great platform for our customers to run solutions on. You know, you can see here that there is the data centers that are connected through dark fiber. I would highly recommend, if you haven't done this already, is to work with your Microsoft rep to do a data center tour. I had the luxury of taking a tour when I was out in Dublin. The data center, I think that data center was staffed by about six people, and those six people had very specific roles, and it was just very, it was just incredible to see the efficiency of how we run these data centers today and continue to iterate. And what I found amazing about it is that these data centers have a life cycle of about 8 years. And what they end up doing with the data centers, they don't retrofit them with the latest technology, but rather they just pretty much raise them. They demolish them and build another one because from a cost perspective, it's more cost efficient to do that. So I found that incredibly insightful as we went through to show the investment that we're making in our data centers to support our customer base. So something that always comes up is about security. So in working with our clients, you know, you work with a business owner who has a project, a business need, and, you know, it looks and it makes sense to run this on a public cloud platform, Azure. And it's like, all right, you had me at hello, I want to do this, but I have this security committee behind me that has some questions for you. I've been through many RFIs around security and gone through the board and gone through the ringer. But essentially, this shows you, again, our commitment to meet our customers' stringent security requirements, to go through and understand that, you know, today you have requirements and you also have methods of how you meet those requirements. We completely understand that those requirements are still going to be the same, but the how is probably going to change as we move to the cloud. So what I found a lot is that as customers move to Azure, it's about security, it's about education. And what I found, once we go through in detail on how we can meet your security requirements, then the security team is on board. And once the security team is on board, then projects can generally move forward, at least in my experience, once you get their support. But as you can see here, you know, you look at, I've done business associate agreements when it comes down to HIPAA. We have that ability to do that today. Just a lot of certifications that are out there, and as we continue to iterate, more to come. So I think, David, this turns back over to you.
Thanks, Gene. So I want to give you a quick look at how companies are using Hadoop in the cloud today, and then we'll talk about some customers. Gene mentioned how some customers are using Azure. We'll talk about how they're using Cloudera Enterprise on Azure in a moment. But you know, really what we're seeing is when companies are looking at Hadoop, it's really to do these three things. It's really to either get a better understanding of their customers' buying habits, so they're looking to create more effective, more targeted ads and campaigns and to boost revenue. They're using data and analytic models developed in Hadoop to inform their product roadmaps and increase the efficiency of their channel. So it's another way that they're looking to do more with their data. And then finally, and we see this a lot too, is companies are really looking at Hadoop and all of the data that's being stored in it to assess their risk profile. And by risk profile, I mean from both internal and external threats. And perhaps if you're you know, a company that's tasked with cybersecurity, looking at how looking at the complete threat landscape and looking at how you can help better service your customers. Let's take a look at how one customer today is using Cloudera on Azure. So this is an airport in Europe that's routinely ranked as one of the very best. They're looking for a way to prevent downtime for machines that are critical to providing a good travel experience. So if you think of things when you're in the airport, you know, escalators, elevators, we've all seen the malfunctioning moving sidewalk with the cones in front of it. Sometimes your luggage takes forever to come off of the conveyor belt because it's not working. It all creates a poor travel experience when that happens. So this particular airport is ingesting a bunch of data feeds from its sensors on all the machines throughout the airport, and they're blending it with other data, you know, things like customer transaction data, flight schedules. They're looking to get a better picture of how their machines are functioning, when they're used most, and when they may be in danger of failing. This gives them the flexibility to schedule machine downtime and maintenance at a point when the airport isn't so busy and fewer travelers are inconvenienced. And, you know, overall what they're doing is they're just using preventative maintenance based on data to provide their customers a better experience and reduce the risk of them missing flights. All right. Now I'd like to bring out our special guest, Clifford Barnes. Clifford is the Group VP and Program Director for Adecco, and he's going to talk about how they're literally changing people's lives with Cloudera on Azure. Search Technologies are the systems integrator that are working with Cloudera and the Azure team to make Adecco successful. Clifford?
Yeah, thank you, David. So thank you for having me. I'm not sure how special, but I appreciate the thought. So I think it's important to understand who Adecco is first, because what most people won't understand is that you've probably all encountered us at some stage without necessarily knowing it. Adecco is the largest staffing and recruitment company in the world. To put that into some perspective, we have 32,000 employees across 127 different brands, covering 5,500 offices in 67 countries, speaking 29 different languages. Every day we put around 1 million people to work. And our customers are everyone from the big companies like car manufacturers, banks, big warehouses and retailers, hospitals and technology firms, and also the more mum and dad shops. So we literally provide staffing services for everybody. Now, we started our Hadoop journey with Cloudera about 2012 and 2013. And our primary focus was to build a next generation search and match solution. So the current recruitment-centric products in the market we found were a little bit old, a little bit tired from a technology perspective. They, in our industry, they wouldn't necessarily innovate or look forward too far unless they knew there was a customer there to buy the product. So we had two options. Do we go and partner with somebody who's already powerful in the market and allow them to profit off our innovation, or do we look at going it alone? And ultimately, we chose to look at a Hadoop-powered solution to take us forward. We felt this was the best use of our extreme amounts of data that we have on our people, on our candidates, on our jobs, and on our markets. So once we identified Hadoop, we had to look for a decent provider. Now, going pure open source wasn't an option for us. We needed the surety of support and development tools. When we looked at that, we found Cloudera was by far the superior product. Their roadmap was exceptionally innovative, and we just got a better sense of comfort. So we ultimately chose Cloudera on the recommendation of Search Technologies. So far, it's been nothing but a completely successful decision that we've made. We also, of course, leveraged the cloud initially with Amazon to cash in on the elasticity and make sure we had a much lower lead time on the hardware. Our data center lead time was just too high. Ultimately, we moved across to Azure. As we saw earlier, from Gene, Azure's push to be incredibly compliant with security and legal certifications around the world was something that we didn't necessarily get the same sense of comfort from Amazon and their ability to do the same thing. As a result, we moved with Azure, and so far it's been a very, very, very successful relationship. So I was asked to talk about what our biggest challenges were, and our biggest challenges, I think, in this program were not actually technical challenges. They were around convincing our board of directors and our senior managers that going down the route of largely open source technology that we could that we would host in the cloud, which was a shift for our company, was a good idea. And ultimately they took a leap of faith, and we're now moving more and more and more of our products into the Azure cloud, which has been our positive experience. So how long did this project take? Well, from initial launch right through to our first customer, it took about 9 to 12 months. So it was a very, very quick project, very quick lead time. And our first pilot customer was actually our biggest business unit. Rather than taking a position that we would go live with a smaller unit, we decided to put our money where our mouth was and went for a massive Adecco company. And how did that go? Well, we rolled out to 1,200 users in 7 weeks across the whole of North America. The project was incredibly successful. Within the first, you can see it on screen, within the first 3 months of go-live, we were able to reduce our time to fill vacancies by roughly 30%. And we also had a 20% reduction in job board spend costs because we didn't need to attract candidates. We were able to find suitable candidates that had largely fallen through the cracks due to having an inefficient search solution previously. So now we're actually live in a number of countries. We are now live in Canada, Norway, UK, Germany, Switzerland, Italy, Spain, and Japan. Running a multilingual platform through Cloudera, all hosted on Azure. The user response has been
Clifford, we may have lost you. Do you hear us? All right. I think we may have lost Clifford for the moment. So let's see if we can get him to dial back in, and we'll continue on with his story when he rejoins. Okay. So we talked a little bit about what customers are trying to do with Hadoop in terms of driving revenue and reducing risk. You know, if you take these business problems and you look at them as access patterns, we see some very common trends. So you can look at Cloudera Enterprise, and we'll show you the Cloudera Enterprise graphic in a moment. Oh, Clifford, I understand Clifford's back. Let me finish this thought, and then we'll move back in to so you can finish the story. But you can look at Cloud Enterprise as a data engineering platform. So it's a place for doing some ETL and modeling, building data pipelines. So because Cloud Enterprise allows you to integrate more data and do it faster, you can incorporate things like real-time, streaming, and time series data into analysis where maybe you couldn't before. And in the cloud, you can cut operating costs by making sure that these jobs are running only when you need them to. So you do an ETL job in the morning, and you can shut the cluster down when your work is complete, for example. You can also think of Cloudera Enterprise as an analytic database with multiple types of analytical processing to facilitate, you know, ad hoc search, statistical, SQL queries in a single solution. So you can create these really robust dashboards that reveal unique insights into your customers and your campaigns simply because you have access to more data than ever before, and it's all online. And now once we're integrated with your Azure Data Lake store, once that goes GA, you're going to be able to run these types of queries against your ADL data. Now, on the app delivery front, you can build real-time embedded applications with access to full fidelity data without introducing added risk. So, for example, you know, building a recommendation engine, that's a really good example of the type of thing that you can do in Hadoop. And these workloads often run on persistent clusters with high availability. The cloud is great for scaling compute and storage separately. So if you're running a particular job that requires, like HBase, for example, you can simply provision more worker nodes without having to add additional storage. Hey, Clifford, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. My apologies. I'm off site at the moment, and the line's not fantastic.
No problem. You sound good. If you want to go ahead and finish your story, I'm sure we'd all love to hear it.
Sure. I'm not sure where I got to, but I'm going to go back to exactly talking about the rollout itself. So, you know, we were able to roll out to our largest business unit of a pilot country. We did 1,200 users in 7 weeks across the whole of the USA. Now, to put this into some perspective, that smashed a Deco deployment record. We've never done a project on that size and that scale so quickly before. And user response has been absolutely fantastic. The business sponsor was a keynote speaker at our management conference last year. Such was the success of the platform. I'm not sure if you've heard, but we are now live in many countries. We're live in Canada, Norway, UK, Japan, Switzerland, Italy, Spain, all supporting local languages, and so far the product has been a resounding success. As far as the data points we're primarily looking at, well, of course we're looking at our CV and our job databases, but we also have an incredible amount of additional information, free text information like in our notes and our candidate profiles. And as a result, we're able to really start drilling into those free text pieces of information, which is something we've really never been able to do before. We've been very much a static field-driven company. So this has actually enabled us to really get into understanding the additional points that we've been able to capture on candidate suitability and client feedback that would usually come in the forms of email, or just jotted down interview information. This has proved to be very, very, very powerful. So But I want to share some interesting stories, because one opportunity that this solution gave me was to spend some time rolling it out personally to our branches in the Midwest of the USA. And I'm not going to talk about our normal stories of the fact that we've been able to place many more candidates and large amounts of candidates into jobs. I'm not going to talk necessarily too much about the fact that we've been able to fill large orders of 200 people being required in 3 days' notice, which is something that was usually very hard to do, but we've been able to do that in a matter of hours. I want to share some stories that are my favourites to give you an idea of the success of this platform, and they're not necessarily the biggest business case building stories, but they're the ones I like. We had a situation where we had a few people walk into our office with no real CV, no real resume. They gave us a one line of what they were able to do. And using pretty advanced techniques, we were able to break that out a little bit and understand that if they said they had one skill, like a warehouse worker, we could inherently work out from that they probably had a bunch of other skills as well that they were just not telling us about. As such, we were able to open up a number of job opportunities for these individuals that once upon a time would have been just very foreign. One sort of modest gain was, I remember a specific story where we were able to take a gentleman from earning $9 an hour to a job earning $11 an hour. And that $2 an hour means that guy can now take his kids out for ice cream on the weekend. And they start having these little things that some of us necessarily take for granted. But to these real-world blue-collar staffing workers makes all the difference. We had a situation where we sent an amazing individual for an interview. Her CV was perfect, but she absolutely blew the interview. The client rang up and said, just send me more people like that. So using the system, doing a bit of reverse analysis, within an hour, we were able to submit 6 people back to that client that roughly matched or almost perfectly matched that individual. And as a result, we were able to place and still fill that job. Once upon a time, that would have taken much, much longer to do. One of my favourite stories, though, was a retired financial controller. He really wanted to get back into work, but he could only really work 2 or 3 days a week now, being retired. And again, using some of the advanced techniques we had built, we were able to find him a job doing the paperwork for a local family-run company. Now, this guy was previously a Fortune 500 CFO, but he was so happy to go work for this small little company that he got so much life joy from that it was absolutely fantastic. And again, these were things that once upon a time were almost too hard for us to put the time into, and now we're able to do it in a matter of seconds. So I think one of the major points that they probably want me to talk about here is how important data security and privacy is and how that factored into our selection. Well, data security and privacy, as far as choosing Azure, was our number one priority. We deal with a hell of a lot of sensitive information, everything from bank details, pay details, invoicing accounts. We have people's personal and sensitive data.
I think may have lost Clifford again. If we get him back, we'll have him respond to that topic at the end. I think it's really important, security. I imagine everybody on this webinar is interested in hearing about security in the cloud, and that's a topic that often comes up in customer conversations. Before we move on, I want to do one more poll question, and then we're going to move quickly through some slides. And then I want to show you guys how easy it is to deploy Cloudera on Azure through the marketplace. So the next question for you guys is, if you're not running Hadoop in a cloud environment today, it'd be interesting to know what's preventing you from doing that. So again, you can answer more than one here, but is it an issue around compliance, or do you have questions about security? Is there this perception around Hadoop complexity, or frankly cloud complexity that's keeping you from doing it, or perhaps the answer is nothing and you are off and running with Hadoop in the cloud. So it'd be interesting to see what your answers are. And then once we do this, we'll take a closer look at the Cloudera Enterprise platform. We'll talk about fast, easy, secure, and some of the qualities around there. Okay, let's take a look at the results. Okay, so Hadoop complexity, security, compliance. No surprise there. We'll address a little bit about that in this webinar, but if you have questions following today, certainly encourage you to check out our website. We've got a lot of great information on what makes Cloudera Enterprise fast, easy, and secure to hopefully allay some of those concerns that you might have about deploying Hadoop in the cloud in your environment. So first, let's talk about speed. When we talk about speed, what we're really thinking about is not so much the technology and the various components like Spark and Impala and Solr that might make your business faster. But what we're really thinking about is if you're, for example, building a data ingest pipeline, we want to make sure that you can get data into Cloudera Enterprise quicker. If you've got an ETL window, we want to make sure that you can shrink it from hours to minutes. If you're a BI user, you need to have high performance and high concurrency on your queries. You want to be able to do self-service BI, and you want to have access to all the data that you need. So you don't have to wait for IT to send you a batch of data that may be limited, frankly, to what your CRM system can handle. So that's really, when we're thinking about the architecture of the platform, that's what we care about. It's not so much the individual components, though. Obviously, that's what makes us up, and those are important. But for you guys, it's how can we get the data to you quicker, and that's our core focus. When we say faster business, that's what we mean. So when we talk about easy to manage, Hadoop is more than a dozen interrelated services. It's running across many machines. It's got thousands of settings and a number of dependencies and permutations. Not meant to scare you, it's just the way it is. So how do we make it easy? Well, that's what Cloudera Manager does. It really lets you manage the complexity of running all these tools through a single pane of glass. Allows you to monitor the health of your Hadoop cluster. It's your place to add, remove nodes, to diagnose issues, and really do that end-to-end administration. It includes things like centralized log management and log aggregation across all services and hosts, and they're available for you to search to do troubleshooting. So, for example, if you're running in the cloud and your cluster terminates for whatever reason, you can actually still view those log files, and that's particularly important for troubleshooting. You can do zero downtime rollouts and rollbacks. So anytime you want to do an upgrade, you can do that without taking the cluster offline. Cloudera Manager is also connected directly to Cloudera Support. So, we have this thing called predictive support. Now, oftentimes we can diagnose any issues that you might be having often before you call us. So really the goal here is making it easy to manage regardless of the deployment environment. One of our largest customers, just for a quick example, is able to maintain scale and availability of their cluster with tens of thousands of nodes across multiple clusters, while they're able to maintain a 800-to-1 node to admin ratio. Gene talked a little about security. It's really, really important for us. It's very unique to Cloudera Enterprise. If Hadoop is really truly a place that you want to run business critical workloads, then the data's really got to be secure at all points, and it needs to meet stringent governance and compliance regulations. So, how can you protect everything in your cluster? How do you control access? And then once someone has access, how do you control what they can do with the data? And how are you able to get visibility into what's happening in your cluster? Who's loading data, who's changing data, who's accessing data? You want to have that visibility across the platform. And Cloudera Enterprise is actually the only Hadoop distribution that's passed both a PCI DSS and a HIPAA compliance audit. So that means if you're a retailer or a processor who's working with secure payment card information, or if you're a healthcare provider who's required by law to protect patient health data, you can trust Cloudera with that. Cloudera Enterprise on Azure includes in-transit and at-rest encryption throughout the cluster, so not just data encryption at the HDFS layer. And wherever your data and metadata reside within Hadoop, it's protected, and you've got a FIPS compliant key manager that ensures that your encryption keys are stored separate from the encrypted data. We also have uniform access and policy management at the row and column level, along with separation of duties. And all this is really to get as granular as possible in determining who can access data and then what they can do with it. Also talked about visibility. It's important to be able to track who's touching data, what they're doing with it, and so we've got full lineage and auditing tracking throughout the cluster. Last thing I want to say before we turn it over to Gene and Woody to provide a demo of Cloudera in the Azure Marketplace is that we've also built in an integration with ExpressRoute, so you can migrate data from your on-prem environment to Cloudera Enterprise on Azure without having to go over the public internet. So it's a nice additional layer of security there. So with that, let me turn it over to Gene and Woody to take you through the demo of Cloudera Enterprise and the Marketplace.
Okay, this is just give me 1 second and I'll be sharing my screen with everyone here. David, when you can see my screen, let me know when you can pick up my screen. Okay. Can you see
and
my screen
Woody,
now?
Before you...
Go ahead.
I see it. And before you jump in, Woody, this is Gene. So just to kind of set the stage here is, you know, when we worked with Cloudera to bring this to market, the idea was that we, you know, as a team, we saw our customers struggling to stand up clusters when they were deploying on-premise. And essentially, it could take months of time to get it working where they, you know, to the point where they could meet their requirements. Using, you know, looking and collaborating with the Cloudera team and putting our brains together, we're able to put a Cloudera offering in our Azure Marketplace to allow our customers now to do a cluster deployment within, you know, minutes, if not maybe an hour, and essentially make it just a fill out a couple forms, which Woody is going to go through, and essentially make it easier for deployment. So we've seen and heard from our customers to say, it took me 3 months, now it takes me an hour, and they're loving it. So what Woody's going to go through here is that experience to show, you know, what it takes to stand up a end node cluster and then go from there. So go ahead, Woody.
Yep. So once you go to the Microsoft Azure portal, just log into your account. And what I'm going to do is log into search, and I'm just going to search for Cloudera Enterprise Data Hub, but I'm just going to be a little lazy and search for Cloudera Hub. And it's going to pop up the marketplace offering that we want to go ahead and do. So I'm just going to click into this, and it's going to bring up some pages. And this is a great place if you've never installed Cloudera before or if you've never done it on Azure. I know we all don't like to read the manual, but it's a really good place to go through and scan, and you can see some useful links that will give you some more advanced options if for whatever reason this is not can't do everything for you. We have some more advanced templates that you can go and modify yourself. Also, there's different blogs and other resources that can help make things make sense for you. But if you just want to get your hands dirty and you want to go ahead and try it out on your own, just click the Deploy page. And it'll bring up the same type of window for you, and you just go ahead and click Create, and it's going to ask some basic questions that Ms. Jean alluded to that we need to fill out, such as the cluster name. So I'm going to be really clever here, and I'm just going to call it Woody Demo 2. I'm going to make my username Woody. I'm going to go ahead and type a strong password that it's going to check, and if I can type, it checks that they're the same, which is good. I need to make a unique resource group. This is just a container for everything we're going to build for the cluster to fit in. I'm going to make it really unique and call it Woody Demo as well. And then I'm going to pick the location that I deploy into. I'm going to go ahead and pick location East US 2, and I'm going to click OK. It's going to go ahead and start validating some things as well. And it pops up and says, what do I want to name my virtual network? I'm going to keep this really creative for everybody. You can name it anything that makes sense for you. And I'm just going to keep clicking through. And then it goes, and it pops up because I didn't pick something that's required. which is good. I need to pick my machine type. So I'm going to go ahead and click on the configured settings, and currently we support the DS14 in this template, and so I'm going to go ahead and click OK, and I'm going to select it. It's going to come back and say it's going to let me go to the next step. So if for whatever reason you fill out something wrong or didn't type it in, it's going to fail early, which is what you want to do, and just go ahead and pick something unique as well. Now what I need to do is I picked what my OS name is going to be that I log into. So I picked Woody for this one. It's going to be shared between a few people, so I'm just going to call it Sia Madmen. Just to be creative, I'm going to type a password. The hardest part is to type the password twice. Let me go ahead and click that in. I know, there we go, the stress, I'm typing the same password twice. So on the cluster type, this is where you start to make a few different choices, and this is where we put some intelligence into how we've done the template. And so we have two different types of clusters. We have a POC, which is non-production. So for those that are somewhat familiar with Hadoop, this means we're going to have one master node, and it's not going to be set up high availability. If I want to go ahead and deploy a production-grade cluster, because we want to go ahead and set it up, it'll set up high availability, and it'll set up three masters, and it'll go ahead and set up high availability for you so that you don't have to go through and do that after the fact. Just for this demo, I'm going to set POC. And then I can choose the size of my cluster, and I can pick the number of data nodes. This is just going to be for a demo, so I'm going to pick three. We can scale down right now, and it says 30 in this current template. We're soon going to be updating the template, and we're going to be releasing it up to 90 in the template. Or if you need to do it more, you can click on the Get Started page that we were in before, and you can modify the template to do as many nodes as you need. So I'm just going to go ahead and click OK here. And it's going to take me to the next screen. It's just going to ask for some basic information that we need for license reasons. And I'm just going to go ahead and fill this out really quickly. And then there we go. So I have my information set up. It's going to pop up with a summary page here that's going to go through all the different choices that we chose to set up. So it's saying in my subscription within Azure, I have Team Chip. That's where I am. My resource group, this is my location. This is my cluster name, my username. Of course, we don't want to show the password there for the world to see. And then this is the other information. So I'm going to go ahead and click OK here. And it says that the validation passed, which is really good. Now it's going to come through here, and this is just making sure that you accept the end user license agreement. So you go through, read this, and then we click Create. And at this point in time, it's actually going to go ahead and submit the deployment. And you can see, like as Gene alluded to, this is going to go ahead and it's going to set up all the resources. It's going to set up the virtual network. It's going to go ahead and set up the networking security for me. It's going to provision the VMs. It's going to do all the OS provisioning, which takes a little bit. And then it's going to install Cloudera completely for you. And it takes between 30 to 40 minutes, depending upon how busy Azure is that day. And you can have a fully functioning cluster. And this is one I launched just a little while ago. And you can see that this is why we picked Woody Demo 2. And it was fully provisioned earlier in the day. Go ahead, Gene, if you have any other things to go ahead and share.
That's great, Woody. Appreciate it. So, I mean, basically, you've just gone through a couple pages, and what once took 3 months could now is going to take about less than an hour to deploy your cluster, and you're good to go. So, appreciate it. That's a great demo.
All right. Hey, thanks, guys. Appreciate it. So, before we jump into Q&A, because I do see some questions coming in on the chat, appreciate it. No, by the way, a reminder: if you do have more questions, please ask them in the chat window at the bottom left of your screen. So, just real quickly, you know, a few things to think about. We covered a lot, but we covered a lot pretty quickly today. So, as you're thinking about running Hadoop in the cloud, you want to make sure that you have the right business case, and we talked about a few of those earlier. You know, so think about things like, you know, what data are you looking at? Where does it live? How do you plan to architect and implement security? You know, does your Hadoop platform integrate with Active Directory? Can it be compliant? Is the cloud platform that you're using, does it meet the necessary industry government regulations that are required for your industry? Does your platform integrate, or can you go back and look at your log files after your cluster has terminated? So those are all questions that you just want to make sure that you've got in your back pocket and that you're thinking about before you go off and do this. So let's jump into some Q&A. Clifford, if you're on the line, if you wouldn't mind, because we've had a couple questions come up about security and you were just talking about that before you disconnected, do you want to kind of go into a little bit about the importance of security based on, you know, sensitivity of the data and how you were thinking about making sure that your data was secure with Hadoop on Azure?
Sure, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, good. So, I mean, you know, we at Adecco obviously hold an incredible amount of personal data. We hold bank account, invoicing data, clients and candidates. We hold personal information. We hold social media information. We hold positive and negative comments about individuals and human beings. And this is obviously highly sensitive, especially in places like Germany, where we have an exceptionally large presence. So from our perspective, when we looked at Azure, one of the major things we noticed was that they were looking to comply with majority of the data laws, especially the EU laws, which are quite all-encompassing, and probably more so than any of the closest competitors. So as a result, we did quite a fundamental review of all this via security and our legal department, and found they definitely complied above everybody else, which is a key factor as to why we moved off the Amazon platform and why we're moving more of our applications out of the data center and onto the Azure platform moving forward.
Perfect. So one question that came up that I guess you touched on this, but this may be, maybe you can go a little bit deeper, is if you think about the different types of regulations based on region, you know, Germany is a little bit different than France, which is different than Japan, for example. So is there you know, some way that you think about configuring or just setting up security to make sure that it meets requirements across different regions? Can you talk about that?
I absolutely cannot. I'm not that technical, I'm afraid.
Okay. Yeah, no problem. Appreciate that. So another question that that came up a couple of times that I'll take and happy to discuss this further offline was one of the slides we talked about management, ease of management. Some folks on the call had asked about Cloudera Director and when that's going to be available, when it's going to be available for Azure. It is something that we're looking at. We want to get it out as soon as we can. Cloudera Director, for those who aren't familiar, is a solution for deploying, doing some configurations in the cloud. Auto scaling of clusters, things like that, and it integrates with Cloudera Manager. So again, when we talk about being easy to use, it gives you that single pane of glass for managing your cluster, not just on the cloud, but also across, you know, the clouds and on-prem. So keep an eye out for that. You know, hopefully it's something that we can get out soon. Let's see what other questions we've got. So we had a question about where can we find about the availability to use Azure UK data centers. So Gene, do you want to touch on that?
It was about the availability of that, the SLAs, or the availability of where the locations are.
It just says more about the availability to use UK data centers.
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple of data centers in Europe within that. If you go to Microsoft.com Azure and just search on Azure data center locations, and that'll tell you, like that slide that you saw on the deck, that slide will information will show you the specific data center locations on our website.
All right. Woody, one of the questions that came up, this one would be for you, relating to the Cloudera Enterprise on Azure. Will I have full access to Spark?
Yeah, so that's a good question. So anything that's available in Cloudera Enterprise inside of the EDH software, you will have available in Azure as well. So everything that is, you know, that you can get on premise is available in those. So Navigator, Spark, all the different feature sets.
All right, fantastic. All right, it looks like we are just about out of time. I want to thank you all for joining. If we didn't get to your questions, I know there's a number of questions that came in that we weren't able to answer. What we'll do is we'll follow up with you separately in email. I'll also probably pull together a blog with some of those questions, and get get a full. A full list of questions and answers out to everybody who joins, because it's a great discussion. So I want to give a special thanks out to Clifford and Jean for joining. A couple things to leave you with. Please be sure to check out Cloudera Enterprise on the Azure Marketplace. Get a Hadoop cluster up and running. Just takes a few minutes. We've also got a lot of resources to check out, including reference architecture. And of course, Cloudera offers a number of training courses for Hadoop novices, for administrators, developers, and data scientists. So as a reminder, you're all going to receive a recording of this webinar along with links to the resources I just rattled off. Please check them out. And be sure to take our post-webinar survey as soon as this webinar ends. That'll pop up on your screen. Let us know how we did and what else you'd like to know about Cloudera Enterprise in the cloud. Thanks again, everyone.